I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, this is a tremendous place, this network. We're very lucky that we have it. I know I say that all the time. But I'm glad that you're all here listening, and I love being here with you on Chasing Justice. Now, I know the last couple of weeks, we had a lot of commentary from me where I started to look down on things. And I have to say that some of the fellows in the neighborhood have really turned me around. I'm trying to look positive, and I'm looking forward. I got to admit, the constant drumbeat of the negative, fake, lying media, most of them anyway, always constantly attacking conservative values and conservative thoughts, started to get me down. I know a topic of many of my columns that I write in lots of different places over the last year or so have been about arriving at a crossroads, a change, where we're going to be, what are we doing? And I've said many times, we are at that crossroad and we've made a decision, we've made a turn. We've turned off the traditional road of America, we've turned off the path that we've been on for the last 240-something years, and we're now on a different path. Unfortunately, none of us really know where this road is going to take us. The changes that we're looking at are not that far away. Major changes could come this November. Election day this November, I can't tell you how important this is. All one has to do is turn on any of the news programs and see the consternation of our nation. We don't know who we are anymore. We are split between two major points of view of where this country wants to go. Whether we stay as a democratic republic, where the individual is important, or we're going to go down that road of socialism. And the pull for the road of socialism is extremely powerful. I never thought I would see this in my life, but it's pretty clear that that's the absolute danger we all face. Now, I'm not a conspiracy nut. I don't sit here and talk about conspiracy stuff. I'm an investigator, and I look at facts, and the facts are right in front of me. It couldn't be more clear. The article I had here on the webpage for America Out Loud recently, the American Civil War of 2018, is absolutely raging on. It hasn't gone hot yet. For the most part, there's been some skirmishes and some shots fired, and indeed, people have gotten hurt, physically hurt, but the major hot war hasn't started. And I don't know if it ever will. I certainly hope not. But all the elements are there right before our eyes. I saw some, I'm trying to think of who it was, and I'm going to even skip the name. I saw a commentator the other day talking about violence in the street, and they were talking to a citizen. I think they were a more conservative person. And they were talking about the possibility that the Democratic blue wave does materialize because those on the right do not go out and vote. We're not mobilized and we don't get out there and vote. And the left is, and they go out and vote in droves and they take over the Congress, especially the House of Representatives, where they absolutely will begin impeachment proceedings and gum up the last 2 years of the first term of President Trump, which means stopping any further progress. I don't know that they're going to be able to take the tax cuts away, unless, of course, they get the Senate also. And that really depends on all of us, don't it? But anyway, this person was talking to this rather conservative guy, and he said a very important thing. He said, if they impeach Trump and try and remove him, there's going to be physical violence and attacks in the street. It's going to come to the hot war if they try and remove this president from the left. So it's an amazing time that we're in. So along those lines, I guess the theme of this show is really, where do we go from here? You know, this is up to us. I think the election of Trump, which whether you thought he was a great man or whether you just thought he was a better alternative to what was out there, and I really liked some of the Republican candidates, especially I really liked Ted Cruz. I thought Ted Cruz was a really good guy, and I think he would have made a fight out of it. I don't know that he would have said and done the things that Trump did, and I don't know that he could have beaten Hillary Clinton. I would have hoped he would have, but that was really a crapshoot on that one, because you really had to go tough. you had to do the things that Trump did. And look what he did. He beat back all those Republican people who were trying to get the nomination. And then he beat Hillary Clinton and that entire machine. So much so, he's turned all of the left and the deep state and the Republicans and everybody upside down. That's what this is all about. He has turned this inside out. And they never expected and didn't see it coming. So my question, where do we go from here? Well, we have a choice to make, all of us. And there's an old saying out there, and you know by now, people who listen here on Chasing Justice, you know I like old sayings because there's a lot of truth in old sayings. The only reason they stick around long enough to become old sayings is because they have some truth in them. And it's been said that we get the government we deserve. So let's think about that for a second. You get the government you deserve? What does that mean? That means if we don't get out, make our point, stand up for our people, stand up for our principles, then the left is going to run us over. And I don't believe there'll be any coming back from the next one. Because if they win the Congress, and for any reason they get the Senate, and the next election, whether Trump gets a second term or not, and he's hamstringed the entire time, or if they take the presidency the next time and they have all the levers of power, they will set themselves up so that we will never, ever again be able to peel back the curtain like we have now. Like what's going on right now with this Mueller investigation, and we're seeing the New York Times, the lying New York Times. You know, they put an article out not too long ago that talked about comments that were made by Rosenstein, where he was saying that, you know, they should consider the 25th Amendment. And he's denied that. He says he never spoke about that. Well, I think there's a drumbeat now for people, especially people on our side, to say, well, there's our chance. Let's get rid of Rosenstein. Get rid of him and get somebody good in there to take over the Department of Justice, because, unfortunately, Jeff Sessions, I can't tell you how disappointed I am in him, as I thought he would have been great as the Attorney General. I always thought he was such a great guy and a really conservative person. He's completely gone out of the picture. I mean, where is this guy? I know he recused himself from the Russia investigation. That doesn't mean he can't run his agency. He can't go in there and issue marching orders to people, that he can't direct things or put other people in charge of investigations. He can't see clearly with his own eyes what's going on here, and he's allowing this to happen. But I digress, as a man with a grievance often will. So let me get back to where I was. So Rosenstein, these comments come out from the New York Times that he was saying to McCabe, maybe we should, use the 25th Amendment and record, put a wire on and wear a wire. But I was struck when I heard the actual transcripts, whether it was the text messages or whatever it is that came out with the actual wording. When I heard it, it didn't sound to me like Rosenstein was actually saying, hey, listen, I have a great idea. Why don't you wear a wire and go and, get Trump saying crazy stuff, record him, and then we'll work on the 25th Amendment to try and get him, you know, removed for being unfit. The way I heard it, and unfortunately, you know, you feel weird when you have to agree with what you think is something on the left, when they said he was just joking around. I don't think he was joking, but it sounded to me like a sarcastic response to somebody. Oh, yeah? What are you going to do? Wear a wire? What do you want to do? Wire a wire? That's not somebody saying, I suggest you put on a wire and go record this person, in secret. When somebody says, what do you want me to do? Wear a wire? Is that what you want me to do? Is the way it came across in the actual transcript. So I don't know that he was suggesting that. I think that just came up in the heat of the argument of this meeting, apparently, that was going on. So then I say to myself, so why would the New York Times put this out? Why would all these people be jumping up and down and trying to fire this up? Doesn't it make sense that if Trump were to use this as an opportunity and get rid of Rosenstein, that now they could say he's doing something else to impede the investigation? I'd leave that guy right there. If it was my advice to the president, I would say, listen, get your ducks in a row. Let's get through this election, however it comes out. Push hard. Push our people to get out and vote. Let's have a red wave. If we keep the Congress, then we can break this whole thing wide open. And the American people have a right to know what their government did. Could you imagine? What's that sound? Listen to that sound. You know what that sound is right there? That's the sound of our forefathers rolling over in their graves if they could see what's going on with this entire investigation. That they would have American politicians from the Obama administration all the way down, because that's where this came from, try and manipulate everything to have the election come out a certain way. You know, I hear people say on other stations that there's, oh, that's a banana republic. No kidding. Can you imagine that you would ever, you know, of all the nonsense that went on in this country, of all different things that happens, I never would have thought that our elections would have been manipulated to that point by the actual government. Now, I'm not naive. I know that there's people voting in Chicago who are dead, and I know that the rolls are messed up for reasons, and I know illegal aliens vote, and I know that there's improper votes that go on. Of course there is. But you can't connect something that happens in Glenfield, Missouri to Sacramento, California and make a difference. You can do something on the local level, but that's not going to affect the overall election. Unless you're in the presidency and you and your people are manipulating outcomes of things, manipulating the FBI and the Department of Justice. Hillary Clinton has a checkered past of lying. She's a liar, and she's always gotten away with it because she was able to broker power. She was able to broker power in the party, and therefore she was an important person. So the fact that they got together and this, like, this cabal of people who decided who your president was going to be, she was going to be the president no matter what the people thought, right? They faked up and they went after Bernie Sanders, and they really faked up that election, the primary election on the Democrat side. Not a word. Not a word was said about such a thing. But she ended up, screwing him out of that and stealing that election from him. Then it came to the big election, and we had the FBI and the DOJ working behind the scenes, and now it's all coming out. The truth is coming out. This was clear to me from the beginning. Being an investigator, an inside person, and understanding how investigations work, it was clear to me that there were inside things that had to happen. I've gotten search warrants. I've written them. You have to have facts in that search warrant. You don't just go in there and put any nonsense in there to get a FISA warrant to spy on American people. So the fix was in from the top all the way down. That is not America, ladies and gentlemen. That is not America. That tells me that the Civil War is another, the American Civil War, that's another example that it's already begun. We don't need people shooting each other in the streets to see that we had one party in our country that was manipulating the Department of Justice, the FBI, to change an election. Do you realize how important that is to understand that? Well, you know what? I have a feeling, Chasing Justice listeners, you understand that. But I'm shocked that it just seems to be going by. I'm shocked that so many people I know, my friends and family that are on the left, I have friends and family on the left, and I love them dearly, they don't seem to think that's a big deal at all, because it goes for what they want, which that, in a long circuitous route, takes me back to my point, where do we go from here? Our friends on the left are perfectly okay with this because it suits where they want this to go. They want to get Trump out, and we've reached a point in our country when it doesn't matter how we do it. Trash the Constitution, trash the election, cheat, steal, lie, do whatever you got to do to get what you want. And what they want is to socialize our country. And the media is going along with them. I said something a long time ago. I said to the lovely Mrs. Lieutenant Joe, my beautiful wife Kathleen, I said, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, I came up with a comment. I said, you know, I don't want to think that the people that are on the left are stupid. I don't want to say that, because they're people I know and love. And most of them are very intelligent. They have lots of education. And why do they believe these things? Why do they fall for this nonsense? Don't they understand what's going on? Can't they see the bigger picture? And she says to me, you can't think that way about people. They're not stupid. They believe in doing good things and nice things, and they see this as a way for it to happen. And I had to think about that. And now here we come full circle 10 years later, and it's not just the lies. Wait, when they went after Judge Bork and they made stuff up, when Ted Kennedy stood there going after Judge Bork, Ted Kennedy, who, could you imagine in a world of the Me Too movement where Ted Kennedy would be? Ted Kennedy made, waitress sandwiches with another guy from the Senate. They would get the waitress in between them. He crashed his car and left a girlfriend, somebody he was cheating on, die at the bottom of a waterway, and he left and went home, and he was hailed as the Lion of the Senate. This is the guy who was up there going after Judge Bork. Then we saw what they did to Clarence Thomas, probably one of the greatest justices we've ever had. How they went after him with the same last-minute nonsense, and now we see Kavanaugh. Now, what I said last week is, I don't know if Kavanaugh did that or not when he was 17 years old. I have no idea if he did something with that young lady or not. I don't know, Dr. Ford. If he did, he was wrong to do it. But we don't know the full context of it. Now, I'm not saying any of it was right. You never do anything to anybody against their will. Let's be crystal clear on that. I have a daughter and a wife, and I wouldn't want anybody to do anything to them that they didn't want to happen. So let me be clear on that for anyone who's going to try and make something out of what I'm saying. But the point is, we don't know what happened. We were not there. So I get the whole idea of you have to believe the victim, okay? But I say we have to peel that onion back a little further and go, is she even a victim? We don't know. We have no idea. What if she got the wrong guy? What if this did happen to her, but it wasn't Judge Kavanaugh who did it? What if it was somebody else? And she's confusing him. Is that possible? Or is that completely impossible? I don't know. All I can say is what's going on with what happened to our elections, and we're starting to see the truth come out now, and we have to push for that. We have to push for that to come out, because if it doesn't come out and we don't hold the House, all of this is gone, ladies and gentlemen. You will never know. You, out there listening here to Chasing Justice, you will never, ever really know what these people did. And if they take power, they will ensure that there's no way it's ever going to be found out again. Because you know what? You could say what you want about our friends on the left. They are not stupid. They will learn from their mistakes of this time. And the next time, not only will they cover their tracks, there'll be no evidence of how they steal your country from you and socialize everything. So we'll be back in a little bit with round two here on Chasing Justice. And I want to thank you for listening. And remember, you can email us at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. I'd love to hear from everybody. And keep listening each and every week. Together we have a relationship. We'll be back in a minute.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to segment two here of Chasing Justice, round two, segment two, part two, the next part of the show. Now, some of you are probably wondering where the fellas and girls in the neighborhood are this week. We've had the Live at Clancy's restaurant in Neptune, New Jersey for the last couple of weeks, which was really a great time. And we're actually going to be back there on September 29th. So anybody that's listening, Saturday, September 29th, we're going to be at Clancy's at 2 p.m. recording some episodes of the neighborhood guys and girls getting together. So if you're around the area, stop on in. Clancy's is really a cool place. I know for my law enforcement brothers and sisters out there, we had a lot of our PBA parties at Clancy's over the years, and they're always accommodating. The food is excellent, the drinks are excellent, and the atmosphere is really, really cool. So if you're around on Saturday, September 29th, 2 p.m., come on out to Clancy's Tavern in Neptune, New Jersey. We're going to be recording live. We'd love to have you out there. Okay, so in segment one, I started to get a little passionate there, okay? And I hope that's okay with all of you out there in Chasing Justice land. The reason I get passionate about this is because I have children. And at some point, not too far down the road, I'm going to have grandchildren. And the legacy of America fell to my generation to pass it on to the next generation better than we found it. And unfortunately, I'm concerned that my generation hasn't done that. Matter of fact, I'm concerned that my generation is going to give away America. And there'll be no America to hand on to my children and grandchildren, to your children and your grandchildren, or your children, because you're probably a lot of young people listening too, and I appreciate that. So I started to get passionate about it. And I look back and I say, how did we get here? How are we going here? I don't think how we got here matters anymore. We can argue about that forever. You can't go back in time. You know the old saying, you can't go home again? Well, we can't. We're here now. We have to deal with it. So I talked about at the end there just about how upset I was about what's going on and my phrase of where do we go from here. Well, this Rosenstein thing, and I was trying to make that point, and I got kind of sidetracked. So what I'm saying is the New York Times put that story out to go after Rosenstein. Why would they do that now? Mark Levin, who's a great commentator. I love Mark Levin. Mark was asking that question the other day, saying, "Hey, wait a minute. Why would the New York Times go after Rosenstein, who they've been a big supporter of? Unless they're trying to get the president to react. They're trying to get him to react. Even Chuck Schumer came out. And, you know, what did he say? Mr. President, you better not fire this guy. Is he goading President Trump to say, well, Schumer, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to fire him now. Here's my chance. He's out. Because you know they would just use that as an example. That, look, he's trying to further, subvert the Mueller investigation by now getting rid of Rosenstein, who's running the investigation. He's trying to put his own person in there so that they can whitewash what happened. So I would suggest that he doesn't do it. Let this all hang. Go through this election. After the election, you see where things are. If there is a blue wave and they take the Congress, you know they're going to come after him and they're going to try and impeach him. There's no doubt they're going to do it, and they'll impeach him. Whether it'll go through the Senate or not, I don't think so. But it'll be a mess for the next 2 years. It'll be horrible. You're not going to get anything further in the agenda that we all want. We're not going to get a wall. We're not going to get justice reform. We're not going to get any of that. It's going to come to a stalemate. And you know who that empowers? That empowers our enemies. This is an area I don't think anyone else is talking about. See, I look at this strategically, and I say to myself, if I wanted to get America, what would help me? Well, it would help me if America was in turmoil, if America was in chaos, if America and the American president wasn't concentrating on taking care of America and looking out for America, if the president was busy worried about lawyers and subpoenas and all kinds of nonsense every single day, and newspaper reporters hounding everybody about this, this nonsense Russia involvement, collusion, that apparently there doesn't seem to be any evidence whatsoever of, which goes back to the manipulation by the FBI and DOJ. But we beat that horse already, so we're going to go down that road. But that's what they did. They made that whole thing up. That's what all of these texts coming out shows us. They made this whole thing up out of whole cloth. And unfortunately, half of the people in our country believe it. They actually believe that our president conspired with Putin somehow to steal the election from the wonderful Hillary Clinton so that Trump could take over and let Russia run America. This is what these people believe. Now, you talk about conspiracy theory. That's a conspiracy theory. So I want to go further down the road now. I want to take a look at some more things that have come up. You know, Rosenstein and that. I'm saying, Mr. President, hold on. If the New York Times wants you to do it, or they're goading you to do it, or giving you the ammunition to do it, it's probably the wrong thing to do. They're playing you. They're setting you up. Let's look at Judge Kavanaugh. We talked about this a little bit last week, and a lot has changed since last week. You know, this woman, Dr. Ford, she came out and made this allegation. Now, I think some interesting facts have come out. She wrote a letter, apparently, or she told her local congressperson, who told her to put it in a letter, and she would give it to the California senator, Barbara Feinstein. Well, she did that in July. Then the woman said she didn't want to get involved in it. She wasn't going to come forward. She just wanted to make it known that she thought that this had happened to her. She believed that this happened to her with Judge Kavanaugh. Then she gets an attorney in August. She takes a polygraph in August. Does that seem to anybody else like she's setting up the preparation for this to go public? And then all of a sudden there's these leaks and, you know, she's not going to do it. She's not going to come forward. Then her name comes out. Then next thing you know, not only is her name going to come out, but she's going to testify. And it seems to be the perfect roadblock to Kavanaugh. They tried everything else. They're pulling a Clarence Thomas. I think even Time Magazine is putting out a cover that shows a large picture of Clarence Thomas like in the background. And Judge Kavanaugh in the corner raising his hand like he's taking the oath that he's in the shadow of Clarence Thomas. Haven't we seen this movie before, ladies and gentlemen? Haven't we seen these last-minute tricks that our friends on the left come up with? And then because they run the media, they boggle everything up and every single story is about, well, if you don't do it, you don't do it. Now they're even saying if Kavanaugh, they're giving the impression that if he even defends himself against this, that he's against women. And therefore, if he's against women, it proves he's a rapist. And we're seeing all these stories about these young kids that go to these elite private schools. They're snobby and they're rich and they're entitled. And you know what? Maybe they are. I don't know. I wasn't a rich kid who went to an elite school. Maybe that is how they are. Because you know what? They come from a lot of money. They never have to want for anything. They get what they want. They have political power in their towns. Of course they do. We have to understand that. I'm not saying it makes it right. It's just a reality of life, ladies and gentlemen. Money and power go together. But look what they're doing to this guy. For all intents and purposes, he's got 65 women who knew him then all the way through this point in his life who have written a letter saying they've never seen him act or behave in that way at all. Even people, girls he knew, women he knew from back when he was in high school. In high school, we're talking about. Did you ever do anything stupid in high school? How many years ago? I think a lot of people did stupid things in high school. Now, again, I'm not condoning sexual assault. I'm not, going away. I have a wife and a daughter, and I wouldn't want nobody to touch them or do anything improper sexually with them. So I'm not saying that. I'm saying we don't know what happened back then. We have no idea what happened. But look how they're going after this guy. They have pulled out all the stops now, and now they said the Republicans, of course, scared to death, spineless Republicans, are doing everything they can to make sure that the media can't say, look how they're against women. They're not helping this woman. They're trying to breeze it over. They like a rapist. They want this guy to get in. So they're doing what they can to accommodate her, which I say we have to hear what she has to say. She has come forward and made these allegations. We have to hear it. So she's made the allegations. She didn't want to go public. She went public. She's now public. You give her a plane ticket, and she flies to Washington, she swears an oath, and she tells her story. Then Judge Kavanaugh tells his story. Now, I believe he's already testified under oath about it. And he said, I don't know anything she's talking about. I wasn't there, and it wasn't me. But nobody wants to hear that. We got this letter from 65 women. I guess those women don't count. Those women don't count because they're not saying he did it. And then we watched that Joy Behar, you know. And I got to say, this woman, hey, God bless her. She has right to free speech. She's on TV and she's making money. Good for her. But she comes out and she says, you know, this is the guy and he probably did it. Does anybody on the left stop for 1 second and say to themselves, you should be innocent till proven guilty? Somebody made an allegation. But when it's a sexual assault allegation, you're immediately guilty now. If you're a man, is that what we want? You want that to happen to your sons when they're at college? You want that to happen to your sons when they're in the workplace? Or your husband? Or your father? You want somebody to say something, hey, listen, I can't get that promotion, but if I say something, maybe I can make things happen. Now, I'm not saying people do that, but you know what? People do that. Men do crummy things, and women do crummy things. It's documented. Believe it or not, people do sometimes lie about things and use things for power, whatever power they have. Now, I'm not saying Dr. Ford is doing this out of power. This may very well have happened. And if it did, that's a terrible thing. And I wish it had come to light, 35 years ago when it happened, when the police could have investigated it, when they could have went to the people who had the party, when they could have talked to those witnesses then, when they could have interviewed young Mr. Kavanaugh and young Mrs. Ford, and they could have found out exactly what went on there. And if it was criminal, they could have prosecuted it. If it wasn't, they could have put it to bed. But here we are, 35 years later, looking back at a high school party where two young people were in a room together. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was him. Who knows? But we're looking back 35 years now. Do you think you're actually going to come to a real conclusion of what happened there? Well, here's what I'm going to suggest. Here's how an investigation would have gone 35 years ago. In a sexual assault investigation, the person comes forward and it claims that someone did something to them sexually. And the police begin the investigation by taking a statement from the victim. What happened? Who did it? Where were you? Who was around? How did it happen? What was said? What was not said? And all of that's documented. Then they ask the person, who did you tell about this first? See, that's called a fresh complaint witness. Now, in sexual assault cases, the fresh complaint witness is considered very reliable. This is what the courts look at. Reliability of statements and facts, and who is reliable and who's not reliable. Because believe it or not, people lie. Witnesses lie, friends lie, victims lie, perpetrators lie, people who are accused of things lie. Human beings lie when they get involved in the system, when the police are involved. But the way the court looks at the fresh complaint witness, the very first person that the sexual assault victim told about the assault, what that person says is considered inherently reliable because the victim was probably so upset and the first person they told is probably the most truth about the situation. So that's given some extra weight in the court. Now, the fourth and fifth person they told, now they've had time to think about it. Maybe they've talked about it with people. They feel bad. They shouldn't have said it. Maybe they're not sure. Maybe it wasn't exactly the way they thought. But that first person, that fresh complaint witness, is important. So the police would have found that fresh complaint witness and said to that fresh complaint witness, what did this young lady tell you happened? And she would have said, or he would have said, could have been a guy that she was talking to, I was in a room and this guy, Bob Jones, whoever he is, he grabbed me, threw me on the bed, touched me, did this, that, and the other thing. That would be considered credible. The other one we look at in criminal investigations as credible is a dying declaration. See, the courts have gone through all this stuff. They've looked at where are human beings likely to tell the most truth. So the first person you tell after a sexual assault is considered credible. And a dying declaration, if you're laying there dying, and you say something, you know, the court looks at that as inherently reliable because of the fact that if you're dying, you know you're dying, this is the last thing you get to say. So you're probably going to say the truth. So somebody that lays there dying and says, Phil Smith stabbed me with the knife, that's considered inherently reliable because you're dying, you know you're dying, and what you're saying is important. All right, so the courts do look at those kind of things. I want you to understand that. All right, so they would have investigated this back then. They would have put all these witnesses together. They would have went and found who the accused person was, and they would have tried to talk to that person. Now, if that person spoke to them, they would have advised them of their Miranda rights, and if that person waived their rights and wanted to tell their story, they could. If there was any physical evidence to be gathered, you know, if there was anything, any physical evidence to be gathered, ripped clothes, bruising, fingerprints, blood, body fluid, semen, anything like that, that all would have been collected and used as evidence. A la Bill Clinton, right? Bill Clinton, he didn't want to tell the truth until that blue dress came along. And guess what? Baby batter right there on the dress. He really couldn't deny his DNA on the dress. And how would the presidential DNA get on a dress from the Oval Office other than if there was some kind of contact? So they would have investigated all of that. And they would have put that all together. And what people normally say when it's a he said, she said investigation is they try and get the person who's the accused to say, nothing happened, nothing, 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 and then you have DNA. And you say to yourself, well, nothing happened. How did your DNA get on this victim? Then you've now proved that their story is a lie. You've caught them in a lie using forensic evidence, just like Bill Clinton. Now, I joke about that, and I'm trying to do that to be a little bit funny, you know, with the sound effects and everything. But the bottom line is, he would not have told the truth if they didn't have that evidence. But he lied right up to the point that the evidence showed up. So when you do an investigation, you collect your evidence, you collect your witness statements, and then you talk to your accused, and you listen to their story, and then you try and pin the timeline, and you find the truth or the fiction on either side, on the person who's claiming to have been assaulted and the person who supposedly did the assault. And when we do investigations, go ask a cop you know. Go ask a police detective who investigates criminal activity and ask them about sexual assault. And they will tell you that sexual assault does occur. Happens a lot. A lot of people are assaulted against their will, and it's absolutely horrible, horrible crime. And we have to investigate them and put those people in prison. But they'll also tell you, probably quietly, that there's a lot of them that are not real. That the call of sexual assault is used as a weapon to go after people because it's a very powerful weapon. So that's why as a society, we have to be crystal clear. We have to be careful when we whip this around at people. Okay, so it's one thing to say we have to always believe the victim. And you know what? I think we have to always listen to the victim. We have to listen to what the victim says happened, and then we have to investigate it. Because if they truly are a victim, we want to help them, and we want to see justice served. It doesn't serve any justice for anyone for people to make up any kind of an accusation, whether it's sexual assault, regular assault, theft, burglary, child abduction, all the things that people fight about in life. So when it comes to Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford, I don't know how we can go back in time and gather any evidence. I don't know how we can go back in time and take statements from people. Sure, they can find people that were at the party, maybe. And you don't know, are those people lying now 35 years later? Because maybe they're far on the left and they really don't want Kavanaugh, so they'll lie. Maybe they're far on the right and they do want Kavanaugh, so they'll lie. It's 35 years later, ladies and gentlemen. Very difficult to investigate a he said, she said when it actually happens, let alone 35 years later. So that's round two. I really wanted to talk about that because I think we need to honestly look at these things, not just point fingers and scream and yell at each other and you're a hater, you're a liar, you're a this, and you don't like women, and you're against this one, and you're against that. It's ridiculous. If somebody commits a crime, we investigate it and we prosecute the guilty. We don't prosecute the innocent just because somebody said they did it. Let's get to the facts. That, my friends, is chasing justice. And we'll be back in round three.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to round three, ding, 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 of Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, I started out by thanking everybody in round one, and I'm going to thank you again, and I'm going to ask you to take a look at my sponsors, the people that help bring this program to you. There's the Blue Magazine, www.thebluemagazine.com. This is a magazine for law enforcement officers across the country. Fantastic stories, excellent writing, straight from the heart. About law enforcement. So give it a try. Take a look at it. All right. We also have MCON IT, E-M-C-O-N-I-T. MCON IT are data recovery specialists, third-party data recovery specialists. Help keep your business cyber safe in a modern world. Doesn't that sound good? I think I said that nicely. Then there's my company, True Security Design. All right. And that's truesecuritydesign.com. You can go take a look, or you can look at my website right now. We're combining the two to jpangaro.com. That's J-P-A-N-G-A-R-O.com. And you can see the kind of things that we're doing out there, and there's some stuff out there. We're on Facebook at Chasing Justice. Come take a look. You can see the ladies and the fellas from the neighborhood. There's some pictures up on there. I think there's some pictures of Arthur and some of the rescue dogs we've had over time. So if you ever need training, if you need threat assessments done on your schools or your businesses, I mean, look what's been going on the last couple of weeks with employees shooting up the place. You know, I don't want to be cavalier about it, but I'm telling you, if you got a business with lots of people in there, you had better provide your people with some type of training, de-escalation training, on how to talk somebody down, how to spot potential problems before it happens in your school or your workplace. These people do not just show up and start shooting and killing their coworkers and their fellow students. There are things we can see, signs we can decipher before somebody erupts in violence. That's what my company does. That's what I've dedicated myself to. We help you find those kind of things. Our threat assessments, we go through your entire set of facilities, whether it's one building or 20, and we look for the weaknesses, your gaps in security, and we help you close them. If you need anything like that or you have any questions, reach out to us. I don't mind answering questions. You don't have to hire me for me to answer a question and help you be safe. All right, so it's jpangaro.com, truesecuritydesign.com. All right, so much with the commercials. I want to move along here. You know, as I'm looking at the news and I'm trying to, you know, this whole thing with Kavanaugh and the left and the right, and we look how divided we are as a country. It is no longer just different points of view. You know, we're all going in the, we're all rowing down the river, only we're going to row in different paths to get where we're going. We're in completely different boats on completely different rivers now. We are not one united people anymore. We are split completely. You know, and this is where about the whole idea of the American Civil War of 2018 came to me from. What are we going to do? Split the country in half? You know, Mississippi is the dividing line. All the liberals go to the left half of the country, and then all the conservatives stay to the right. Or do we split it, you know, lengthwise, and everybody that's conservative go to the south, and the liberal people stay in the north, and we have two different countries. You know, North United States, South United States. Is that where we're going? Is that where this is going? Is there going to be a split that at some point, you know, we can't even really talk to each other? I know I've said this before. I have family members that I love, that I was close with, that are on the left. And we don't speak anymore. Not because of me, but because of them. Because the people on the left, they're so intolerant. They get spitting angry and they start calling you names and screaming and hollering at you. And then they unfriend you, they disconnect your phone number, they won't take your texts anymore. It's absolutely amazing to me that this is where we are right now, but we are. So one of the great icons of the conservative movement was Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was president when I was a younger person, and I learned a lot from Ronald Reagan about loving your country and staying true to the American ideals and what made America strong, what made America good. And I really liked Ronald Reagan. I think he was a tremendous president. Well, recently, his daughter, Patty Davis, has been out in the news, and she's saying that she was sexually assaulted. And then she's defending Kavanaugh's accuser, Dr. Ford. Well, I got to tell you right now, no matter what you think I've said, I'm defending Dr. Ford also. Dr. Ford has made a claim that something happened to her by someone else. We need to investigate that, as I said in segment two. We need to look at it. If this happened, we should give it a thought. But we got to give it a thought quickly. Because of the fact that it came up last minute, see, this is how the left uses the law and uses everything against you. They had this information at the very beginning of this opportunity to have Kavanaugh confirmed. They didn't bring it up till the very last minute because they figured all the other dirty tricks they would try along the way would work. And when it didn't work, we have nothing left. Let's throw this one out there. Which that tells me right there, and all you investigator type people out there who are listening, doesn't that tell you something? If this was something that they thought was horrible, this man was a horrible, horrible man because he did this, that would have been the very first thing, day one, you would have come out and said, you know what, we found out about this. This is not a guy we can have on a Supreme Court. They didn't. They held it back. They held it back till the very end. They realized, we can't stop this guy. We better play now the Me Too card. Right? It's real popular in society right now. He's a white male. He's a male of power. He's a rich kid. Let's throw the Me Too thing at him, all right? Let's throw it right now at the last minute. This fact that they did that tells me that they are not defending Dr. Ford. If this really happened to Dr. Ford, then we should listen to her. We should help her find justice. But if it didn't happen and the left used this, they are the ones who hurt her, who hurt the Me Too movement, who hurt all the innocent women out there who have been victimized. You know, my life of law enforcement, I stood up for victims. I didn't care who they were, where they were from, their race, creed, religion. If they were a victim, I was empowered to go out and try and find justice for them. And I took that seriously. And I feel the same way for this woman. And I've said it before many times. I don't know if it happened to her or not. But there's two sides to that justice. This should have came up immediately when Senator Feinstein had that letter. That should have came up immediately so that it could have been brought out early in the process. Bringing it up at the last minute is disrespectful to women. It's disrespectful to Dr. Ford. She's being used as a pawn in this political game. And I personally find that disgusting. Because if she is a victim, then they're not treating her very well. They're running her around, using her as a tool to move their agenda forward. And that is horrific, and I don't like it. On the other hand, if it didn't happen, then Judge Kavanaugh is being treated like some kind of a criminal, a rapist, some animal that he is not. This could be your father, your grandfather, your brother, your son. This could be anybody. What are we doing in this country? Letting these political people do these kind of things to us. And I'm talking to everybody now, right and left. If this is the kind of thing that was going on, you know what? I've talked about Judge Ginsburg. She's very, very far on the left. I would disagree with her every single thing she ever said. Barack Obama. I've said I thought he was probably a nice guy. He's obviously a good dad, a good husband. But his politics were horrific for this country. If people came up with stuff about Barack Obama, the president of the United States, that were absolute lies, I would be infuriated. Because you know what? I may not agree with him, but he's my president. This is what we're losing in this country. We're losing that unifying thing to understand. You know what? You had an election and your ideas lost. Our ideas won. We're going to try them. If after a couple of years our ideas don't work, we'll have another election and then we'll try your ideas. But what we come to now in this country is the destruction of people, which that means the destruction of you. Because God forbid you ever get in a position where you want to run for an office. What are they going to do? Go back to kindergarten and say you push some kid off the swings and they're going to use that against you now? Because who would have thought you could go back to high school 40 years later and say, oh, this is what you did in high school, and we're going to go after someone for that. The guy wants to be a Supreme Court justice and they're going back to something he did in high school. Now, that's not to make light of what potentially happened when he was in high school. See, the fact that I have to raise that caveat every time I say it, because we are so divided that people can take any word you say and use it against you. And I've been pretty clear about this whole thing, that I think there should be justice in this case for either Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh. Crystal clear on that. So don't anybody get any stupid ideas of coming up saying I'm something I'm not, saying I'm something that I didn't say. The bottom line, though, is fairness, honesty. What we got going on here is a travesty. They pulled this out at the last minute. It's a trick. They should have done it early on, and they didn't. How does that do any justice whatsoever to Dr. Ford? All right, now you put her in this position. She didn't want to come forward. Now she's going to come forward. She's going to testify Monday. No, she's going to testify Tuesday. She's going to testify Wednesday. You notice how they're putting it off? They're moving it down. I think the latest now, she's going to testify Thursday. And then she only wants that. She wants him to go first so that she can counter her story to change it. That's not how it works. This is all a travesty. We're all being played here. Dr. Ford's being played. Kavanaugh's being played. And all of us in America are being played. Where are we going to go from here? What's going to happen next? Do you not see this? And I don't know how you let the air out of this balloon. I don't know how we back this down. How do we back this down and get to a point of civility? How do we back this down? Never mind civility. Let's be loud. Let's be powerful about what we say. But let's do it with sanity. Let's do it with truth. Let's have honesty in what we're talking about. Right? This all comes down to politics. And I don't know what happened between these two. And that's a unfortunate thing for both of them. We don't know what happened here. We're never really going to know the truth, but we're going to come to some kind of a conclusion. And if I had to guess, I'd say if Dr. Ford came out and couldn't remember the time, the date, the location, the place, any people that were there, the day of the week, the exact year that this happened, she couldn't come up with any facts other than to say, Brett Kavanaugh did this to me. The left would jump up and down and go, there it is. There's the proof. Get rid of this guy. And our friends on the right, this guy, he could say, I didn't do it. And there could be no corroborating witnesses or whatever. And they're going to say, see, he said he didn't do it. And that's the end of it. Either way, I don't see justice taking place in this case. What I see is a travesty for our country and another mess we've allowed to take place. So where do we go from here? What's going to happen next? How do we take the air out of this balloon and get back down to normalcy? Well, I think like in any situation, I have to look at it and what does the historical record tell me? So anybody that's ever listened to me speak on my speaking tours or any of the videos I made or whatever, even in my writing, I talk about the historical record. We have to look at the historical record to inform us about things. You know, just like I keep saying, what's the history of the Democrats? They lie, they cheat, they steal, and no big deal. They just did this whole thing with Hillary Clinton and faking up this entire thing against Donald Trump, and now all of a sudden they throw out this thing against Kavanaugh. Does anybody connect the two that they're just doing now more fakery and trickery maybe? Does anybody even get that to question that? I don't know that they do. But the historical record here tells us that this is only going to really end one of a couple of ways. Either one party or the other is going to develop such a big following that they win landslide elections. You know, you'll have 78 senators and you'll have, 420 congressmen and you'll have the presidency and you'll be able to push your agenda straight through and the country will either be a more traditional America with traditional judges and the rule of law, the Constitution as the guiding device of what we do, or the other side wins with the same numbers and now we become a socialized country. We move towards socialism. Maybe we even get rid of the presidency. I think, who's that movie maker guy? He's out there saying this could be the last president because we could go into some different kind of a government going on. Maybe we have a prime minister or we have some nonsense like that as opposed to what we have right now. All right. Or the other way. It comes down to a festering pain and struggle for everyone until those first shots actually are fired. You know, the Fort Sumter moment when that first shot is really fired in the real world and the hot war does start, because we all seem to think that it's impossible for anything like that to happen here in America. You know, it would never happen here in America. It never happened here in America. Really? Did we ever think that cops would be ambushed all over the country and murdered simply because they're cops? Did we ever think that we would see the President of the United States declare an official presidential order well within the bounds of his power as president to say, I want all those documents released. And we would have former high-ranking intelligence agency people and current government people, senators and congressmen, outwardly telling the agencies that have those records that the president is trying to release, the FBI and DOJ, telling them, disregard the president's order. Because that's what they're saying. They're telling these agencies, don't do it. It's Donald Trump saying it. Just because he's the president don't mean you should do it. You should resist the presidential order. Do you realize what that means? If they resist the presidential order, the constitutionally valid order of the president of the United States, that is a soft coup d'etat. America is overthrown at that moment. Now, I don't say that lightly. I look at facts. The President of the United States has specific powers. One of them is to order the release of those documents. You have former and current officials in the other party telling the people in DOJ and FBI, resist that order. Don't release those documents. Don't do it just because this president told you to. Who's running the country then? Who's making those decisions? What happens when those people decide maybe they should come to your house and maybe they should take you out and do something with you because they don't like something you said or something you wrote? Do you see the slippery slope and how easy this can happen? I've said this before. We all seem to think America's here forever and ever and ever. We are on the verge of losing it, ladies and gentlemen. We are that generation. It was handed to us to mold and shape and empower and then pass it on to the next generation in better shape than we got it. Is that what we're doing? Is that what this is? When you go to your TV tonight or you go to the radio or you go whatever and you turn on the news and you hear this nonsense, and if it's something that you like and you applaud it, even if it means violating the Constitution or ignoring the Constitution, if you applaud that, you realize you're asking for the end of America. You realize that's what you're doing when you do that. Because I may not like something that President Barack Obama did, but if he had a legal right to do it, I have to accept it. He's the president. If I don't like what he does, The next election, I vote him out. I don't ignore the power of the government. I don't ignore the power of the Constitution. If we do that, we no longer exist as a country. And as for me, I love America. I love our country. I love all our people. We have the potential to be the greatest land that has ever been seen before. That's what America is. And we can be so much better in the future all together. All of us. All different colors, races, shapes, creeds, all those things. We can be even greater if we come together. But that starts with us. Listen to what they're doing to our country, no matter where you stand. And when you realize that they're trying to take it away from you, no matter where you are, you have to make a decision. And that's the end of Chasing Justice for today. I want you to think about that. Talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody. Here on the America Out Loud Radio Network, the voice of freedom.